We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Well, the offseason is officially here, and we had a Daryl Morey sighting this afternoon at the facility, the Sixers training facility, for the end-of-season press conference, gathering media. Daryl Morey speaking about the offseason plans, and he said a lot of things. The guys were there, Derek Bodner, Kyle Newbeck. I'm Devon Givens. Welcome to the PHLY Sixers podcast as we officially begin the offseason. And just to let everybody know, Brianna's here. Of course, we will all be here going forward Monday through Friday, 2:30 our start time during the offseason. Occasionally, you'll get a later start time like today because of the press conference. But just to set your alarm clocks and set every notification that you need, of course, if you like and subscribe, you'll get the notification that 2:30 start time throughout the entire offseason, we'll be here for you. But fellas, hope you had a great weekend. We got things started today with Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations. We have to react to the things that he said. And he was pretty straightforward, without being straightforward, with some of the things that he mentioned there today. So Kyle, starting off with you, man, how did you feel? You've covered a lot of Daryl Morey press conferences, trade deadline, and certainly in the offseason. This one right here, he made it very clear of how he felt about his path for the offseason.
Well, first of all, I see my guy Eugene Ross in the comments asking if we carpooled and if we're drinking some Olipops. Buddy, you know I keep that thang on me. Come on. Got a grape one today hanging out in the studio. Nice little Olipop.
I might ask Vince to bring me an Olipop.
Listen, man, got to make it happen. On the more important subject for the time being, that was as direct as I think Daryl can be without outright saying, I want to sign Paul George if he wants to come here. I want to trade for Jimmy Butler if he becomes available. I think he was very direct and very clear that they want a third star. They don't necessarily care about age concerns and whatnot. In fact, I think the most revealing answer, other than saying, yeah, we want a wing, like the best fit would be on the wing, which is like, wow, I wonder who he could be talking about on that one. He got asked about building out depth and, you know, maybe going that route over stars and get guys who are available versus the downside risk of older players with maybe health issues. And essentially his answer was, I'd rather have good players who are risky than a bunch of guys who are available and not that good, was the gist of the answer. And so we can sit here and we will debate over the next couple of months, you know, what could they turn this roster into, right? What would it look like if they went after some Alex Caruso's, who he would cost a decent amount in a trade, but guys like that rather than a top line star.
Yeah.
But I think I think he laid it out very clearly today. He basically said without saying, if they can get the third real guy, he will take his chances filling out the roster everywhere else.
The direct quote, I'll take the better team that you have to manage your way to the playoffs than the worst team that is always available. I'll take that 10 out of 10. There were, I thought, four key points of Daryl Morey's press conference. And to your point, they were all bat signals to Paul George and Jimmy Butler, it seemed.
It was Suge Knight saying, come join Death Row, basically.
We talk a lot about some statements being to an audience of one. The entire press conference very much felt like, hey, if your current team isn't willing to pay you, we will. He
got your manager dancing all up in the videos.
Right. Like Kyle said, he directly said he wanted a wing. I asked him whether or not it was still feasible to have, to have three max cap slots under the new CBA. And he said pretty much that history has shown that stars are the way you win championships, and that you should pursue them. He directly said he prefers top heavy stars over role players. He pushed back on the notion that, you know, stars in their late 30s decline. He said that happens less now than it historically has. And he said he enjoys the challenges of finding role players like Kelly Oubre and Kyle Lowry. So pretty much every indication...
Basically said, hey, it's actually fun for me, right, to try to get the minimum guys
who
are really good.
He basically told you, no idiot, I want a third star. He said it in no unsimple terms. You really don't have to read any tea leaves. Some people will say, like, well, maybe he's just trying to deke people out. I don't necessarily see what the benefit would be. And history suggests, based on everything Daryl Morey has ever said or done in the NBA, he wants that third star. So, yes, while Kyle mentioned we will have discussions about role players, the truth is that only comes into play if Daryl Morey misses not only on option one, but also option two, three, four, five. Like, he has to go pretty far down his whiteboard for him to go, oh, let's go pursue Alex Caruso in a trade. I just don't expect that to happen.
Well, I think the argument, of course, to discuss this, because we've talked about the two different styles of team building where we've discussed, all right, do you in fact go with that third star for Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey?
I got you something, Devon.
Did you really?
Got you your own.
Well,
it
wasn't him.
Oh, man.
Bree got it. He was just closest to the door.
Super producer Bree is the one who brought it in here.
Look at the team coming through. Got the classic grape Olipop. I'll pop that thing open here in a second as we discuss this, though. But I'm looking at this because this whole, first of all, the offseason team building stuff is just fun in general, right? Of course, you get the conversation with the guys and they bring in the numbers and how to break everything down of how you can fit certain players. But when Daryl Morey speaks and says what he says, that was very clear. But the argument then goes to the other side of people who want to maybe do it differently, where you don't have to have that third star. You can allocate that money in a different way where it's spread across a few different players and do you better team build that way versus having that third star, because that third star is going to cost you a lot of money. Tyrese Maxey is going to get paid the max this offseason. Joel Embiid is already making big money. How does that factor into when we just went through, speaking as a Sixer fan here, right? When we just went through, where's the depth on my basketball team? I didn't have enough to get past the New York Knicks. So sure, that third star might be available. When you look at bringing up Paul George or even Jimmy Butler, the arguments there can also be the injury history that both of them carry coming into the season, maybe not playing a lot in regular season like we see there with Jimmy Butler. We'll get to Pat Riley and what he had to say a little bit earlier.
He had some things to say.
So that's the only discussion with it. Is that the time now? Is today's NBA, is that the pathway that you want to go to? Because unless you build it out, if we go to OKC and run down the three stars that they have, they are young players that you're building with. The Shea Gilgeous-Alexander piece traded from L.A., still technically kind of homegrown because of how young he was to turn into the star that he is right now with Jalen Williams, with Chet Holmgren, and a bunch of other young players that they have there. Minnesota, Karl Anthony Towns, along with Anthony Edwards, trading for Rudy Gobert, yes, the third star in a different way. So is that the way to go? It's going to be intriguing to figure out how it all plays out with the LA part. They've offered him a couple of different contracts based on the reporting that Kyle and Derek have put out there, but the Sixers have their eyes on them also. So where does that leave Daryl Morey and how he goes about it? And then the other piece, once that's done, that's going to be fantastic. What are the next pieces then? Derek, remember when they signed, the Phillies signed Bryce Harper, and the first one was Andrew McCutchen. And everybody's like, whoa, no, that's not going to work. Three for whatever, $40 million, three for 50 that he got, until the Bryce Harper piece came into play. So even though that was in a bit of reverse order, it was still, this role player doesn't necessarily work until you get that star. But is it the star way to go first and then get built out those role players? Or are you going to be okay if they do go Alex Caruso and some other names down the list and scrap that star piece if it doesn't work for Daryl Morey?
Yeah.
So he did address the idea of, you know, what if this doesn't work out, right? Because there are a finite number of stars, number one. There are only so many before you get into, and we can all debate who is and is not a star, who's worth star level value. He directly said in the press conference, you know, if all the balls go up in the air and they all hit the ground and nothing works, they're not then going to overpay guys who are not stars or guys who are not those foundational roster pieces, basically saying without saying, I'm not giving out a Tobias Harris contract this time around like the franchise did before I showed up here. Now, that's an easy thing to say, right? Because if the music stops in July, Paul George signs in LA, Jimmy Butler's not getting traded, Brandon Ingram's not going anywhere, and they're just kind of boxed in. Well, what do you do? You're not going to be able to look the franchise, much less not going to be able to look the fan base, not going to be able to look Joel Embiid certainly in the eye, have the whole summer plans blow up and be able to be like, yeah, it's all going to be okay. Trust me, I got this, after cap space and flexibility and everything else was the plan. So it's very interesting that he was this clear and decisive on this, because in some ways it does set up for, if you don't get something done and get something done early, there is going to be a lot of pressure in this market, not just from people on the outside, but someone like Joel Embiid, who's smart enough to say, he's certainly listening when Daryl's talking today. He knows what the intent is. If you do not come away with one of these types of guys, there's going to be some very difficult conversations being had this offseason.
And he already mentioned earlier today, to your point, that he shared that they've already exchanged messages, he and Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid expressed what he feels like he does in the offseason of what he might want here. So you know he's going to at least have his ear out there and, as you said, listening to what Daryl Morey had to say. What else did you have on that piece?
I mean, it was mostly just how clear and direct that Daryl was. It was honestly a little bit shocking, and it took you by surprise a little bit. You don't usually hear GMs talk that truthfully about what their intention is, and what, more than that, what their team building philosophies are. Like, he was very direct about that. Now we'll see whether that executes. I do think this is going to be a pretty crazy summer, and that probably dovetails pretty nicely into the comments made. It was honestly a little wild to sit here and be talking to Daryl while Pat Riley is pretty much putting a blowtorch to Jimmy Butler. Now, Pat Riley did say, when asked whether or not he was considering trading Jimmy Butler, he said no. But he also said that they hadn't started internal talks about extending Jimmy Butler, that to get an extension, you have to actually play.
I want to lay out all the direct quotes from Riley in a little bit.
Watching these two go side by side, like I said, it seemed very much like Daryl sending out a bat signal to players, you know, communicating to players he's not allowed to communicate with, doing it through the media at his end of season press conference of, hey, we like you, even if your teams don't. That was far and away the overriding takeaway.
Right, because we've dealt with Daryl for a while now, and this is true of a lot of GMs anymore, but he all the time, like when we're heading into draft and free agency season and he's getting asked these types of questions, he's always like, well, I don't want to say we need this because, you know, we don't want to say this and then there's a better player available, or we don't want teams to know intel. He came out and was like, we need a wing.
Yeah.
And we need a wing who's going to hold up in the playoffs, who's tough, who's whatever, like the perfect fit in between Tyrese and Joel. He didn't dress it up. He didn't hide his intent. He went out and made a statement and said, this is what we have to go out and do this summer. the very first thing he said, right, was like, I owe this to the fans. I owe it to ownership. I owe it to a lot of people. This is a huge offseason, and I need to get this right. And so it's admirable because he's not backing down from what I think all of us knew coming in, but he better get it right or it's going to get spooky around here real quickly.
Well, this is his offseason. This is all about him, and he set it up this way from speaking about the Buddy Hield piece, which we may get to a little bit later, of how he attacked the offseason. But you guys have talked about it so much of how, and Rich as well, of how he attacked the trade deadline, but didn't really attack it because of what he was setting up here for this offseason. And because of that, this is it. This is the one for him where there's a different faction of Sixer fans out there who give him a bit of a break. Then there's the others that have really hit him very hard and saying, he hasn't done anything. So here we are. This is the setup. Now you hear it. Joel Embiid is another year older. Tyrese Maxey is turning into that young star player that you have. All eyes are going to be on Daryl Morey to get this together. And as Kyle and Derek have reported, during the season, the Paul George piece is there. Now you're starting to hear so many others from different cities, the national reporters talking about this actual offseason for the 76ers and who could be linked there with those two names, with George and Butler in particular. You're going to hear others with the Kevin Durant conversation, still trade for Lowry, Markkanen, and so many other names. But this is it. This is it for him. Not that he's saying he's going to lose his job, but in terms of him saying he owes it to the fan base, the city, the organization, the players, and all, this is it for him, that he has to go out there and put it on the line here for this team. Because how much more is the window going to be open while Joel Embiid is, in fact, in the Sixers uniform?
Yeah. No, and forget the window. Even just the window of adding a third star level player. Like, this is your window. These are the couple of months you have a real chance to. He can't screw it up. Like, and if you look at it in some sense, like the first couple of years, not that his goal was to undo the damages of the past, but there was some reality to the fact that he had to undo the damages of the past, whether that be Al Horford.
Sure.
And getting off of that contract. Now Tobias Harris finally expires. This is your one window when you have flexibility, and there's trade flexibility and free agency or salary cap flexibility. You have to nail it. And he's, you know, there's been a lot of talk of, oh, well, these are, you know, there's so much uncertainty. There's going to be a lot of movement because of second aprons and team books and get off contract. Okay. Well, this should be right in your wheelhouse. There's a lot of, there's as much pressure on him as any other person connected to sports in Philadelphia over the next couple of months, for sure.
Yep. Should be an interesting one for us as well.
He has to hit a home run on this one. I think it's probably time for a word or two from our sponsors. Some players,
home run.
Maybe that the Sixers are going to be signing, are going to be going to the bank a lot over the summer. Hopefully you are too. We've heard from some people recently who joined Trumark Financial Credit Union right here in Philly, and it's been an eye-opening experience to see the difference between banking at a bank compared to becoming a member of a credit union. When you join a credit union like Trumark Financial, you become part owner, which means profits come back to you instead of going to shareholders. Trumark Financial has better rates, lower fees, a better return on savings, and more flexible options overall, and of course, the same digital tools and technology we all want. But the best part for me is that Trumark Financial is local. They're headquartered in Fort Washington, with 24 branches across the Philly area. They are deeply rooted in our community. They serve our community and only our community, so their investments and programs help our people right here at home. Becoming a member of a credit union has so many benefits over being a customer at a traditional bank. It's a total no-brainer. Head over to Trumark.com/PHLY to learn more or to find a branch near you. That's Trumark.com/PHLY, federally insured by the NCUA.
And what's going on, beach folks? Well, are you ready to soak up the summer vibes? It's already starting. The weather's starting to change. A little tease there with the weather, and then it gets a little cold, but we're in the month of May, so it's starting to really creep up on us. And if you want to unveil your ultimate beach body, well, you know, you're in luck, because our friends over at Manscaped have you covered from head to toe with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. This ultimate all-in-one grooming kit is set to have you looking and feeling your best in the summer sun. Trust Manscaped and unlock the confidence you need to turn the heads this season. Join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code PHLY. Let's make your summer the smoothest one yet Are you one that likes to just shave all over the place and go into the summer and wear your swimming trunks out on the beach and have everybody staring at you? Well, embrace your summer bod goals with all-inclusive Performance Package 5.0. Perfect for those aiming for that crisp, clean, and confident look. The updated Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra Groin and Body Hair Trimmer. Get a summer makeover. It's waterproof, designed for splashy pool parties and beach hangouts. You can invite the guys. They might say yes or no. I don't know, but you can invite them. Keep your ears and nose as tidy as your hedges next door with the Weed Whacker 2.0. Oh, we got a new one. 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer. Pesky hair, be gone with the new 2.0 Weed Whacker. Post-trim care never felt so good with the Crop Soother. Ball aftershave lotion. Stop.
I'm sorry. The Crop Soother. I couldn't get through it.
You couldn't keep it in.
The Crop Soother sent me over the top.
Say goodbye to the painful chafing and hello to the all-day comfort. For those sunny beach days, don't leave home without the Crop Preserver anti-chafing ball deodorant. Let the sun see you shine and not sweat. All right? Surprise your purchase. Right? Your purchase comes with the free Boxers 2.0 Midnight Bravo. Surprise! Comfort and style that fit like a dream. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PHLY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PHLY at manscaped.com. The summer sun is here to stay, so trust Manscaped to keep your pubes at bay.
We need to change that two-person camera to get Kyle's reaction on it because Kyle was losing it.
Do you guys remember the presser where LeBron wore the shorts with a suit?
And he
just picked up his bag and walked out. That was about to be me in the middle of that ad read. Heard Crop Soother, that was...
Crop Soother, now you got the deodorant, lotion, all that, man. Come on. Weed Whacker 2.0. Let's get after it.
5.0. Whoa.
No. 2.0.
Wow.
Oh, the
you're one, thinking of the lawnmower, not the weed whacker.
The weed whacker is different. 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer. Come on, man. Come on. All right, let's move on. Let's get to our super chat here. Right on time. Let's get to our super chat from Abe. Abe, thank you so much for jumping in and sharing this one. Abe Lobo, did they ever clarify the issue with Embiid's knee? Was it post-op pain, normal part of recovery, or something else?
They didn't get into it. And I would
thank you, Abe.
Thank you for the super chat, Abe. Here's what I would tell you. You're likely not going to hear that unless it comes from Joel himself.
Yeah.
Because I think the lesson that everyone should take from how the last 3 months, 3+ months have gone with regards to Joel's injury and injury reporting, or that he wants to keep a pretty close lid on whatever is going on with him. And look, that's certainly understandable to some degree after all the things that he's been through and just not wanting it to be. Because try to look at this from Joel's perspective. Whatever you think of the playoff failures and some of the other stuff, he is one of the best players in the league, right? I think our friend Vince, who wants to trade Joel, would admit he's one of the best players in the league, even if he's flawed. And the conversation about Joel often becomes so much less about that than, what's the deal with his knee? What's the deal with his face? What's up with his hand? What's up with this? And my read on it is that Joel is just tired of that being the center of his story, on top of having to actually live and play through it. And then people are saying, well, why is he playing, or he's soft and he's this. And so I suspect we're going to know less and less about Joel and his health moving forward, but who knows?
Yeah. Look, the Sixers, when they were talking about D'Anthony Melton midway through, practically like listed the, disc on his back that he was having problems with. And with Joel, they won't even say the word surgery or tear. Doesn't take a, whole lot of inferring there to figure out why they're so drastically different in how they're portrayed. And Joel was asked after, I forget which game, it was probably game 5, I feel like, whether or not there was any kind of aggravation after he came back, and he pretty much declined to answer.
So yeah.
He was asked directly. He just doesn't really want to talk about it.
Right. All right. So when we look at the two names that we mentioned, we have a bunch to get to from the press conference. But Derek, we've seen the Jimmy Butler experience here in Philadelphia. Although Tyrese Maxey was not here, it was Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Tobias Harris. But we have seen him play along with Joel Embiid. They still remain very close. So I'd imagine that Joel Embiid wouldn't have an issue of playing with Jimmy Butler again. But when you look at both fits, and I know we'll talk a lot about this in the offseason, but since we're starting here with the wing conversation, which one financially, of course, speaking about that, and style of play, would you say fits best with this team with what you would like to see them doing?
Oh, stylistically, I think it's pretty clear that Paul George is the better, more seamless fit. And both of them have different concerns. I mean, Jimmy's, what, 35? I think Paul George is 34. So they're both sort of around the same area. Both of them have injury concerns. Jimmy played, what, I think 64 games 2 years ago, 60 games this year. Has not played and obviously then missed the first round playoffs because of what happened there against the Sixers in the play-in. There's injury concern with all of them. Paul George, you would theoretically have to give a four-year max contract to. Reportedly, that the Clippers have made multiple contract offers to him. None of them have been at the max. In order to get it, you would probably have to give him the max to lure him away. It sounds like if the Clippers ever give him the contract he wants, he will stay in Los Angeles. It's just whether or not that contract will get there. With Jimmy, he's got 2 years left on his current deal at like 49 and 52. The second one is a player option. If he turns down that player option, you can give him a two-year contract extension. If he opts into that player option or accepts that player option, you can give him a one-year extension. So basically, you're talking about 3 years on that Butler, like I said, 49, 52, and then the third one would be like 60. So there is one benefit to Jimmy in the fact that it would be a three-year deal, essentially, you know, 2 years he has left in a one-year extension or 1 year in a two-year extension. With Butler, it would be a four-year deal, so that does help a little bit, but you would also have to trade for Jimmy Butler. The concern with Jimmy is, can you keep him and Tyrese happy? And I actually have less concern with that than some do, because I think Tyrese is both capable and willing to play off ball if he needs to. I think having another ball handler in there would be good, or another creator at least in Jimmy, and Jimmy does like to create offense as well. With Jimmy, you bigger concern would be keeping Jimmy happy than keeping Tyrese happy, but I think you could probably make that work, especially with how much Embiid and Jimmy both miss games. But you would prefer if Jimmy shot more than two threes per game. That wouldn't be the most seamless fit in that regard. But I think really, if I had to guess, and this is just a guess, like Daryl didn't say it, I would guess the priority is Paul George. And I don't want to call Jimmy a backup plan, but I think Jimmy might end up being the more likely one because there have been some fireworks coming out of Miami. And I guess with that, I will kick it over to Kyle so he can lay the groundwork for that.
I do want to weigh in on what we're talking about here, but I would like to also bring in some of these quotes that we got coming out of, I was about to say Heat Media Day, like it's September, but that's not what we went through. So Pat Riley was asked directly if he would consider trading Jimmy Butler. Quote, end quote, no. So claims he's not trading him. But then later on, Riley said that the Heat will need to give a lot of thought if Jimmy asks for an extension. Quote, unless you have someone who's really going to be available every single night, end quote, which really is just Pat Riley either calling Jimmy a pussy or I don't know what he's trying to do there. He then, the quote of the whole availability to me, and I'm making sure that I get this right. He was asked about, I don't know if everyone saw over the weekend, Jimmy was trolling about beating the Celtics and among some other things during the F1 race in Miami. And Riley got asked about it and said, if you're not on the court playing, you should keep your mouth shut. And while Pat Riley has more cachet than I would say any management figure in the league because of what he's accomplished, if there is one guy in the league who you don't want to be like, keep your fucking mouth shut, it's Jimmy Butler. And so I think it's going to be a very interesting couple of months leading into July. As it pertains to the question that Devon asked about the fit, I would say I mostly agree with Derek on just like trait for trait, stat for stat, whatever. Paul George is the cleaner fit. The one thing that I'm really concerned about with him, and why I see it maybe closer to 1A, 1B, is that I don't think Paul George generates leverage as a ball handler anymore. And I think a couple years ago, he still could. He's a guy who could be a consistent creator for himself, and maybe not a ton for others, but at least a little bit for others off the bounce. Like, there was still a decent amount of that. Maybe you could say because he's playing next to James Harden, he just didn't need to or didn't often do that this year. But I saw what I felt were signs of athletic decline and an inability to get by people. And now, look, Jimmy Butler now is not the Jimmy Butler of 4 years ago. But I think as a closer to like a guard wing hybrid, he still has a functional handle, and he's got like the more durable post game and all the in between stuff and the foul drawing. And my concern for Paul George would be there are long stretches of the season where it's just going to come down to, is he hitting shots or not? And he goes through, as we talked about on this show earlier this year, he can go through some just long, long stretches of he can't hit the broad side of a barn. There was a month, month and a half period of the season where he's shooting like 28% from three or something ridiculous for a shooter of his caliber. And pair that with Joel and Tyrese. And one of my concerns for Tyrese is what we saw happen in that game six, right? Like, they loaded up on him and he didn't really have a plan for how to react to it. And some of that is that he doesn't have enough dribble moves, counter moves to throw at guys yet to pick apart those defenses. The counterpoint would be if you're selling out to stop him and Joel and you're committing those extra bodies, Paul George would be a much better advantage attacker 100%. Than anybody else that they had on the team. And I think that that's completely fair. I just worry about when it's Paul George as one of the main guys in a lineup, like it's three bench guys and either Joel and Paul or Paul and Tyrese. I wonder if teams can still effectively load up on Tyrese and not suffer that much for it. Whereas I feel like if you do that to Jimmy, even with the spacing concerns, even with the shooting stuff, which those are very real, legitimate things to consider, I still think Jimmy is probably in a better spot to attack teams out of those situations.
Yeah, and Jimmy was never as reliant on his athleticism as Paul was. Yeah. Jimmy always had a very, you know, strong dribble drive game. Like, and by that, I don't mean that he was good at it. I mean that he, like, you know, pushing people off the spot, lowering his shoulders, getting in the paint, getting in the line. I'm going to be terrified of both of those contracts. Yes. They're both probably going to end up being bad contracts for both players, what they end up getting.
See, this was the issue years ago when the Jimmy Butler discussion started back then, when they traded for him and got him in the 2018-2019 season. No, really. That was the conversation all the way back then. Now, he proved me wrong because I just wasn't sure, coming from the Thibodeau school where all the minutes played and all of that. But I'm with you that now at their ages that they are currently at, it's tough.
It's not even just predicting a client because of your age. Kyle was 100% right. Like, Paul George is not the same as he was 3 years ago. If he was, that contract would be done. He would be in
he would
LA
be
for
a Clipper for
career.
The rest of his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So both of these, I'm honestly probably going to be a little wishy-washy on who I would prefer, because I want to go back. Every time I watched Paul George this year, it seemed like, all right, like, he's helpful,
out there.
But he's not, you know, he's not the Paul George you remember. I have to go back and really dive deep because this is a massive deal. They both have high risk. But I do think Daryl Morey is going to pursue a star. Like, I think everyone in the chat saying like, oh, stop pursuing old players, stop pursuing third stars, spread that money out. I don't think that's the way this is going to go if he has his chance.
And the tough part too with the Paul George thing, Kyle just said it. He's 1,000 times better than anything that you have on the roster now. So when you look at it in those terms, because then, you don't have that.
Yeah.
You just don't have it. You have a lower level when you look at someone like Kelly Oubre, who a lot of people would like to have back, and we'll talk about that maybe at another time, but you don't have Paul George. Now, when you start going into the other names that may be younger, it may not be as easy to add those guys for what we're talking about right now with the Paul George piece as a free agent, and then the other side with Jimmy Butler.
To Kyle's point, though, like, the fact that Maxey stepped up and is who we didn't know he would be at the start of the season and is that number two option. He brought up the 4-on-3 behind it, like when they blitzed Tyrese. I do still think Paul George, both because of his shooting, because of his decision-making, because he can just see over the defense, I think he will beat a 4-on-3 better than anyone the Sixers had on the roster.
100%.
We can sit here and go, I don't think he can be the 1 or 1A or 2 option he has been throughout his career, and I certainly don't think you can rely on him to be that going forward. The question is, for the next 2 or 3 years, can you rely on him to be a number 3 option to spot up and catch and shoot and make plays off of closeouts when he's alongside Embiid and Maxey, to be that sort of outlet valve for Tyrese when he gets trapped, that it basically just punishes teams enough that they don't do that trap anymore? Because it was really disheartening to see how much teams could sell out on Tyrese Maxey and not get burned by it at all. You're looking for him to arrest that more than you are to ever be a lead or primary initiator on the offense. So those are the questions we'll be asking over the next
couple
months.
The intrigue for me with him is the fact that he hasn't played with anybody like Joel. And that's my piece of it. Joel older, they're both older, but the attention that Joel gets is a little bit different from on the floor versus where Kawhi Leonard or Russell Westbrook or David West in the past, even Kawhi Leonard now, of where the attention comes from. Yes, the attention is there, but it looks different when you're playing against someone and you're playing on the floor with someone like Joel Embiid, and how that may help out Paul George in that case, where it is the other Maxey side than him. The closeouts, we know that he's not afraid to put the ball on the floor. It's just the counters and all of those things that does he still have that? But again, the attention that he might get differently from having someone like Joel on the floor with him is certainly different. Now, if you want to see the new look 76ers, as Daryl Morey talked about them today, you know, the cohesion and all of that stuff that was discussed, there is something, a way that once the season does roll around, it happens, certain moves happen, and you're all excited and you want to go get some tickets. Well, we do have a place for you to go. And
do they have theater tickets?
They have theater
tickets. Go see a production together?
Yeah, yeah.
We're out in Vegas?
We're out in Vegas. We can go do that. I was thinking about another one too, but we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Do they have tickets for anything at the Sphere on game time? Ooh. I need to investigate that. That's a...
Sphere is wild.
I have my thoughts on the Sphere.
Let's talk another time about Drew Carey's recent tweets about seeing fish at the Sphere. They cannot be repeated on the air. Okay. I'd say that.
All right. Well, if you want to look for some tickets at the Sphere or some tickets here in Philadelphia in the fall, once the team is put together and the excitement level is pretty high, Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier if you want to travel to the other cities to check out what's going on, because your Philadelphia basketball team is now out. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Talk about what's going to happen tonight. Indiana, New York. If you're feeling like, you know what, I can drive to New York and check out the semifinals since I'm ticked off, I don't like them, they came in here and tried to take over my arena, I'm going up there to start rooting for Indiana against New York. If that's what you want to do, that's your prerogative. Go ahead, make sure you check out the Game Time app so you can look at, once again, those last-minute flash deals. Driving up to New York, the traffic might be crazy, but once you get in there, you say, hey, these tickets are pretty good. Easy to find on MLB and NBA for every kind of event in your area. Views from your seat in the venue, and the lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection as well. Save up to 60% on last-minute tickets, buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, and theater. Save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. Those are the flash deals. Zone deals. Save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats for you. Game Time ticket coverage gives you the purchase covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. And with the lowest price guarantee, again, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHLY for $20 off of your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Could you just give me a second? I got to take a nice sip of this.
While Kyle takes the sip, I'll just open mine and just make that very easy right there. See that?
Guys, if you want that same refreshing taste.
You hear that?
That we're having on the set. Boy, do I have a beverage for you. Olipop. It's a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar.
Pretty good.
9 grams of fiber per can. Devon and I got the classic grape today.
Great.
See if we can get that.
You don't need my face. You just need the can.
There you go. There's the logo.
Got Kyle's face.
Making sure we get the branding in there. Olipop is available online and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including their most recent launch at all Wawa stores. You can scoop a classic root beer or a strawberry vanilla, which I know Devon tried over the weekend. Get those at a Wawa near you. I've told you guys quite often, I've been a big soda drinker at times of my life. Now that we're moving into the off season, this is the, let you in on a little secret. The beat writers, once we're off, now it's time to focus on health because we haven't for the last 8 months. Everything has gone by the wayside to get through those long nights, those early mornings, everything we have to do to keep you guys informed on what the Sixers are doing. Olipop is going to be how I transition into a better, healthier summer. It is much lower in sugar than conventional sodas, with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar from natural sources. None added, the vintage cola has just 2 grams of sugar compared to 39 grams in a regular Coca-Cola. Massive, massive difference for you guys. And as you see in the chat all the time, all people are ordering different flavors, telling us about how much they love Olipop. There are tons of different and classic flavors for you to choose from. Vintage cola, classic root beer, orange squeeze, classic grape that we have on the set today, strawberry vanilla, cream soda, cherry cola. We got watermelon lime. We got ginger ale. We have, I believe, a tropical punch in our fridge. Just keep your eye out and maybe hit up a few of these online retailers as well as Wawa for the favorite flavors of ours. Use the code PHLY20 for 20% off your next Olipop order. Discount only applies to one-time orders, not to subscriptions. Olipop is sold online at drinkolipop.com and on Amazon, and it's available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including Wawa, Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and Go Puff.
Martian Lynch 33 said, Olipop with the boys.
Yeah, buddy.
Martian, got to get in
little
here,
cheers
man.
Action, little
cheers, right? Yeah. Start to the off season.
Left out over
there. Yeah, start I am to the off season. Can't believe Bree didn't bring me one. Some that's fine. That's fine.
Wow, calling right out there. Super what producer Bree.
If you wanted the super producer moniker, then you got to, you know.
Unbelievable.
It's production excellence, man.
They brought you one.
Hey, maybe you should start thanking super producer Bree and your episode is brought to you. Take a lesson from Devon over here.
I just saw that Drew Carey tweet. Ooh, boy, that's a doozy.
Oh, that win place.
That's not the only one.
I didn't see that.
That was just the one I could find.
Oof. Mm.
I got to check it out.
All right. Drew. Yeah, apparently, everyone needs to go see a concert at the Sphere, according to Drew Carey.
It sounds really good. I'll summarize his tweet. It sounds really good.
All right. I got to check it out. All right. Derek, what else stood out to you from the press conference today? Daryl Morey speaking. What else stood out as far as the offseason getting underway and what he had to say as you project out?
I mean, it sounds like he said all the right things about maybe bringing Kelly back and likes Paul Reed and yada, yada, yada.
The buddy comments were interesting.
He was pretty honest that, you know, I paraphrasing here, I don't have the quotes in front of me, but thought Buddy would be a better fit. That's on me, yada, yada, yada. Didn't play a whole lot with Joel, but even when he did play with Joel, it wasn't quite as seamless as we were expecting. And again, Buddy expressed interest during his end of season press conference of coming back. We'll see whether or not that was just lip service or not, or whether the Sixers would have any interest in that, obviously at a much lower number. What was Buddy making, like 18 mil? Something
18-ish,
like that.
18-ish, yeah.
Obviously not going to get that, and he will have a sizable cap hold, so if they want to do anything in free agency, they'll have to waive him and then bring him back with cap space or an exception. But yeah, nothing too notable outside of like, I like stars.
Anything for you? I mean, the Buddy Hield part.
I do think the Buddy part was interesting because he essentially said, without saying in these specific words, maybe he did. I have to go back and look at the quote, that they misevaluated Buddy and how he was going to fit in here. And maybe some of that is just protecting the relationship with Buddy and his representation and really just anyone else around the league that Buddy clearly didn't play up to his potential here for most of his tenure. And Darryl wanted to find a way to talk about it without being like, well, he just wasn't good enough. And he gave him an out by saying, we thought, given what we had, we'd be able to get him more open shots. And that wasn't the case when Joel came back, and said that depending on what they do otherwise, that they still are leaving the door open. Like, they're not opposed to him coming back. But certainly going from, we got the best player at the deadline, to, hey, we kind of screwed that one up.
He did say, we still think we got one of the best players at the deadline.
And at the deadline, he said, we had the best. That was the best trade.
Yes. So he didn't completely walk back everything he said. But I don't know, maybe he thought a little bit of bloodletting was good for an audience that right now I don't think trusts him a whole lot, right? I think the city right now is pretty apprehensive about this summer and his leadership and what have you, and I think he probably recognizes that. I just thought it was interesting because I when he got asked about it, I just figured we get same thing on the we need a wing comments. I just thought we'd get like a generic, yeah, buddy had his ups and downs, but he's a good player.
You saw what he did in game six.
He like made a difference in game six, and that's the sort of thing we brought him here to do. And instead was like, eh,
didn't work.
Eh. So I thought that was noteworthy at the very least.
Yeah, that one was noteworthy. I also thought the other part that was noteworthy were the cohesion comments, where he was speaking about just the team having familiarity. Next year coming back, he talked about Joel, Tyrese Maxey. He mentioned Paul Reed and Ricky Council IV. Other than that, he kept stressing how this team is going to look completely different from what we just finished seeing last week. So that was noteworthy to me. And we knew that because of the contracts that we already know. But it was interesting to hear him say Paul Reed is going to be back. All right, you know, the questions up and down about his contract. It's a team option, right, for the second year. Since it didn't automatically kick in. It's just non-guaranteed. So
I'm sure there's a date where it becomes guaranteed. Probably like, I think it's January, halfway through the season, every contract becomes guaranteed.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay. So, and he mentioned Ricky Council IV. So that one was there. And I just thought that was something that was, you want to make sure that there's not a lot of turnover every year.
Well, yeah, but you can't keep good players around just because you know them. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. You can't keep bad players around, players who aren't good enough around, just because you know them.
No.
So there's going to be turnover when you're not good enough. He did say, you know, pretty much like, oh, yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of roster turnover. We can't avoid that. They actually could. Like, the only reason you have to renounce all these guys is if you are going to use that cap space. Otherwise, you could bring most of the roster back. But that was another signal of like, yeah, no, I'm going big game hunting in the summer. But he was pretty open. Like, yeah, we're not going to have continuity next year. We just have to make best with it.
Yeah. And he pointed out some examples of teams that he thought were not continuity teams that won. I guess he used the Lakers as an example. I do think it's a little bit of stretching the truth, right? Like they haven't kept, or they didn't keep, the important role players that they should have when they won the title in 2020. The two foundational guys are the continuity. And I think once you win and you start getting into those conference finals type situations, the continuity is not, hey, we bring back the same roster every single year. It's you have your building blocks. You more than likely have your coach and your general manager. And everything else is just an exercise in, how well do we nail the draft? How well do we nail free agency? Do we make the best use of whether it's the mid-level or whatever exceptions that you have? It's using the tools at your disposal to supply the few guys that you need and absorb any kind of new talent, whether that's young guys, older veterans, ring chasing, whatever it might be. I think Denver is actually going to run into this probably after this season. They have decision to make on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope that I think is very important. They're going to have the main dudes in place, but who else stays beyond that? It's why they spent a lot of this season trying to develop those young wings that they've drafted, because let's say KCP leaves this summer, they're going to need somebody like Strother to step up and play a much bigger role. So they're not going to have continuity this season. We can all agree on that. It doesn't mean that they can't win this year. It might be more challenging than a team that has had, you know, years and years of like a 6 or 7 man group that has been able to grow together. But yeah, it should be a long-term goal. I don't think it's a realistic short-term thing.
And as much as they played without certain players on their roster for a good portion of the season, there was a lot of turnover in that starting five and in the top 10 in terms of the rotation, where the continuity just wasn't there in general. So if they're able to have a training camp with the new people coming in, including someone like Buddy Hield, let's say Buddy Hield does come back. He's had a half a season, and then we would have a full training camp with the team going into the start of the season. It may look a little bit different going into next year. So with that continuity will help. Same thing with Kelly Oubre. If he were to come back, he's got a full season under his belt playing with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, calling Nick Nurse a rock star of a coach. Something like that will be fine. And by the time you get to the nuts and bolts of the season, when it's time for them to really ramp up for the postseason, you hope that cohesion is already there and it's already in place for that stretch run.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's that. He mentioned Tobias Harris being that he could still play on a contender. Okay, cool. You were a contender.
Yeah, he could play on one.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he'll play well on one.
You were a contender. He did not play well on the contender. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real fast, though, the Jimmy Butler piece, because a lot of people just asking, I had to throw this in there. What would it take to get Jimmy Butler, since he is, you have to trade for him?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I'm not sure I have a firm gauge on Butler's trade value across the market, because he is a little bit, like, particular in that, like, you have to want to put the ball in his hands a lot, but you probably have to have somebody else who can handle the ball,
which,
too.
Which, by the way, is another consideration, and if we're doing the, just assuming you could get either guy, is what is Jimmy's willingness to just be like the third amigo?
Sure.
A lot of nights.
Yeah. Pretty sure I brought that up earlier. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, yeah.
We've seen him do it, Jimmy's though. When he was here before, he did that. When we would sit there and question, why is he not shooting the basketball?
Yeah, he was miserable about it.
I was going to say he did not like it. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting at, yeah.
Now, Tyrese is different, because Tyrese is useful off ball, whereas Ben Simmons was not.
Yes.
But, you know, anyway. He's a particular fit, and he's aging, and he wants that next contract. And I don't know how many teams would be in that market. So it might not be as much as, like, I think people are like, oh, 2, 3, 4 first round picks. I don't think at that age and at that contract and at that usage that he wants, I don't think it's going to cost that many picks. Might it be 2? If it's 2, does that mean it has to be one of the Nuggets pick in 2026? Is it 2026? When's that Nuggets pick, that unprotected? Doesn't matter. The one good Nuggets pick that they have, not Nuggets, Clippers. Why am I saying Nuggets?
And nobody called me out on that. Clippers, come on, Thunder.
No, the one good Clippers pick that they have, are you going to have to include one of those, that unprotected one, a couple years down the line? But I don't think it's going to be all of the picks. I don't think it's going to be like a bushel of picks. But I think it might end up being one of them that you really care about, maybe one other. Something like that is what I'm thinking.
Now, here's the difference between where Jimmy's at now and where Jimmy was at when they were able to acquire him at a heavy discount the first time around. Jimmy Butler's not walking into Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley's gym and swinging his dick around in the preseason or a practice or whatever. And
like Minnesota.
And acting like he was doing in Minnesota. That ain't happening. I don't know what they would do to him, but they are not putting up with that nonsense in Miami. So,
well, he tried to fight him during the timeout, Eric Spoelstra.
And Spoelstra almost took him up on the challenge. That's what I mean. He said that's not a group that is going to take that. Pat Riley might literally fucking die on the floor trying to fight Jimmy Butler if he's trying to pull some of that stuff. And I say that because I have a crazy amount of respect for Riley and the longevity that he's had as a, you know, important figure in basketball history. That guy does not lay down for anybody. So that's all I'm saying with that. To the points that Derek is making, though, he's in his mid to late 30s. Asking for a monster contract and really has to dictate the trade to go to somewhere that he knows he's getting that contract, or otherwise, why would you not stay in Miami where generally they really like him and value him and have prioritized him for quite a long time? So I think if he's gettable, he'll be gettable for a fairly reasonable price. The question is just, when and how do we reach that point? Because if it's not late June or early July, I don't know that they're sitting around waiting. Like, they might be pulling the trigger on something else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can't do nothing until August while they figure out the Jimmy Butler situation. Yeah. It's just not going to work. Yeah.
So the trade at the draft, potentially with that pick that they have in that teens area, will factor
for him
into
it. Something needs to happen
fast,
whether it's him or we'll get into Brandon Ingram and some other guys. Another show, but whoever it is that's a potential trade guy, whether it's that or whether it's a big free agent, that's got to happen because those role players start going off the board quickly. Like any decent role player that you want, that's like, oh, if they can't get Paul George for $50 million or whatever, divide that up, 20 for this guy, 10 for this guy. Those guys will get that money somewhere. The ones that you actually want are being signed. They're not waiting until it's August and most of the teams with cap space have set their rosters. So there is some urgency. I don't know if they can plant like maybe they need to send Joel to South Beach to hang out with Jimmy and just be like, hey, Jimmy, why haven't you gotten that extension? Just, you know, give him a little friendly jostling, be like the organizational sleeper agent and try to get the wheels turning there. But yeah, something's got to happen sooner than later, I think.
All right. On the way out, wanted to ask you guys about some of the other things going on in the association playoffs with the Sixers being out. Game one tonight starts off in the semifinals with the Knicks hosting the Indiana Pacers. And that's the two matchup with the six. So the two and the six, Derek, when you look at that one, who do you have it advancing past?
I think the Knicks are the better team. I enjoy watching the Pacers play a little more, so I wouldn't mind it being a long series. But this is another series where strength matches up against weakness. I think the Pacers were a bottom three or four defensive rebounding team in the league. We all just got done watching New York's offensive rebounding, which was tops in the league. I do think that the Knicks should be the favorites in this one. Probably five or six games.
I was going to say pretty prohibitive
pretty,
favorites.
Pretty clearly favorites. Obviously, the Pacers are dangerous. The style of play that they play and the up-tempo style could catch teams off guard. And Haliburton, if he can find his first half form, can propel them to a series win. But based on the way those two teams have been playing of late, I think New York's the better team.
I'll be completely honest. I care so much more about these Western Conference series. Well,
I just wanted to ask you about that one.
I'm in agreement, though. I think the Knicks. Now, I could see early after the series the Sixers and the Knicks had, where it was just this street fight, beating each other up type series. I could see the Pacers catching them off guard a little bit, like playing that just spread it out, run type of basketball and catching them on their heels. I don't think I don't trust the way they play to hold up against a real defense in the playoffs. I have some real reservations about, I already did have him about Halliburton as a lead playoff guy. And then I watched him dribble side to side for like 8 straight minutes that one game at the end of regulation and through overtime.
That was bizarre.
Ends up hitting the game winner.
It was bizarre.
But the offense to end that game was just a trash fire. And so, not to say that the Knicks offense blew anybody away in round one, but I think they're a little more durable identity team in the playoffs. So I'm taking them. Boston is going to wash Cleveland, yep, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Anunoby, though, against Siakam, how much they match up.
Fun.
More Anunoby's defense against Siakam with the ball. See, since he knows him so well, of how he may be able to take him away. Yeah. But getting to the Western Conference side, things already started on Saturday with Minnesota and Denver. And boy, we keep talking about it, but he has arrived. Now, there's still some possibilities for some bumps in the road, but Anthony Edwards is legit. Comes out of that series there, Kyle. 7 games. Minnesota took game one in Denver, game two tonight. Who comes out of that series, man? Can Minnesota beat Denver?
Yes.
I agree. Yeah. So, who comes out of the series?
I'll take, for now, the team that's up 1-0. I'll save any kind of Denver fan related commentary until the dust has settled, obviously. I think the thing that jumped out the most in game one is that Aaron Gordon has been, I've said it on the show, he's been one of the most important acquisitions, and it was one of the biggest trades in recent NBA history for what he did for that team, defensively especially. And we've seen him not completely shut guys down, but slow a ton of guys down and shut down certain players on other teams. And they just had nothing for Ant-Man, just absolutely nothing. And I do think, and Jokic did a great job, I think this is his best defensive season of his career from what I saw, and the metrics kind of line up with that. What I saw in game one was some of those old concerns coming back of like how you can pick on Jokic defensively and pick and rolls and how he's reading the game and whatnot. And Ant just destroyed any kind of space that they offered to him, and good on him for that. Now, again, Denver as the reigning champ and as a team that has shown they can get to another gear in certain moments, they certainly deserve the respect to say they will come back with some adjustments. They'll tinker with some things. I'm sure they'll hit Minnesota with a counterpunch tonight, but just get it. They stole home court advantage, yep, right? So yep, if they can take care of business at home, they'll win the series. If they win tonight, I mean,
no, it's
the
Ant-Man
era is
game,
upon yeah us. So
no, I would pick Wolves in 6 right now if I had to pick.
I would do the same.
Because not only,
I saw stuff in that game,
it's
man.
Two things. One, Jamal Murray just doesn't look like Jamal Murray right now.
Calf issue. Yes.
So that's a really tricky injury.
Yeah, and also, man, this is a team in Minnesota who's maybe almost tailor-made to stop a guard like that. They have so much size. And look, I know Gobert gets a lot of credit for their defensive turnaround, as he should. He's an all-world defender. But man, McDaniels has turned so into good. Such a weapon. And they have so much size at the forwards that they can really, really help and recover. They can really get over those screens. I am really looking forward to see how that two-man game with Jokic and Murray, can Murray rise up and be that second option that they need, not only against this team, but against that injury. I would be a little worried. And this isn't me trolling Denver fans. That's the other co-host. I would be a little worried because I do
you
think
you can't
this is
troll
a tough
anyone match right now. They lost one game in a series, right?
But that's also not my personality. It is the personality of somebody else up on this video. I would be worried just because I think this is a tough matchup for him, and he just doesn't look right physically.
Well, Martian Lynn says, channel your inner Kendrick, Kyle.
I will not be calling anyone.
Black out, man. Just black out.
I won't say the insults that were thrown around this weekend. I won't be using any of the derogatories that were thrown back and forth by Mr. Aubrey Graham and Kendrick Duckworth.
As good as Nuggets Timberwolves is, Thunder Mavs is going to be fun too.
Oh, yeah.
Kyrie Irving is playing some very good basketball right now next to Luka Doncic. And that team, the cohesion that we talk about, you talk about length,
yep.
Derek Jones Jr., PJ Washington, Derek Lively coming off the bench. Then you got Daniel Gafford and coming in there in the mix. They do lose Maxi Kleber for a while with the shoulder injury, but they're playing some good basketball right now.
They are. I think the Thunder are a better team, though. Mm-hmm. I would pick them in that series as well.
It's just really just a matter to me of does the youth and inexperience factor in? Because, yep. Look, Luka's been in – hasn't been in the finals, right? But he's been in some real battles. Kyrie has gone all the way to the finals, won a championship, has been in tons of these big moments in the past. Got some other guys that are inexperienced. They're coming from teams like Gafford, Washington. Those are guys – they came from just BS organizations and never really played big games. So, but they're playing very well.
They are.
And I do think they've given that team a little bit of an edge that maybe they didn't have before. Like,
did you see when PJ Washington stood at the middle when they got into the scuffle? And he just said, you know what, let me just pose here for a second. And I
don't know. That's what I'm saying. He's, you know, it's...
I like
it. Hey, now we got stuff falling on the set.
That means it's time to roll. We don't know what's going on.
Oh, my God. But
we don't know.
So, yeah, I think the Thunder are better, but it's...
That's bad. That's the process right there. It fell on the floor.
It's over.
But if Luka and Kyrie play at the level that they're capable of playing, that's they can go shot for shot with basically anybody in the league. So,
yeah,
I'm very excited for that one.
The West is way more fun than the East right now.
And not even close.
Minnesota is that depth. Nas Reed comes in when Karl Anthony Towns gets in that foul trouble, and it's like, no big deal. It's all good. They just have Alexander Walker comes in.
I feel like he was a player who was rumored to the Sixers like 18 times, too, and it just never happened. And
Nas Reed.
Who are we talking about?
Nas Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Nas Reed. Yeah. They have some good depth. All right, man. Let's get ready to wrap it up. Tell the people, thank you for hanging out with us on a Monday as we start the offseason. Who do we have?
Say hello and thank you to Jack Zeldin, Eugene Ross, Daryl Morey's Yams.
What up, Yams?
With an exclamation. AC Filla, who is now on his, I think, 25th different Twitter username if I remember correctly. Well,
but I think AC Filla is the...
AC Filla is the OG, but I see you, buddy. Thank you for being here. Martian Lynch, number one. If anybody's dropping a diss track in the comments, it's Martian Lynch. We got Kane, public enemy number one, Marty Mar. Winona.
What up, Nona?
What's up, Nona?
She said she's going to send Derek a case of Ollie Pop.
That's very kind of you, Winona. We got...
Especially since somebody else.
TN. We got Bootzilla. We got the...
Boots!
The hypothetical man, Brian Knight. Maine.
What's that?
Aaron.
Aaron,
Neil
what up?
Deaver. Who else we got in here today? Liam Stevens.
Liam, what's happening?
We got You Better Love Somebody.
You Better Love Somebody.
That's
I
a
like
new
it.
One. We got Cannoli.
Holy Cannoli.
Fusion. Susie with two E's.
Suze.
Elaine Bruno. I'm sure our guy Ash was in here somewhere.
I didn't see Ash.
Thank you to Kane. Thank you to who else we got in here? Real Time with Prince Blue. Always sending some jabs out here. We appreciate you, buddy. Provolone, John, Ken Wilson. Who was our super chatter today? Super producer Bree.
Abe
Lobo.
What up, Abe?
Shout out to Abe.
She's kind of just producer Bree at this point.
Get the first Abe.
Shout out to Reggie Driver as well. Big shout out, as always, to super producer Bree. If you have not already, hit that subscribe button for me. Hit the bell icon so you get notifications.
No bell around here. It's in the other studio. Ding.
Each and every time that we go live, hit the thumbs up button. And maybe Daryl Morey will acquire a star player who is younger than 34 years old. But no promises. We will be back with you tomorrow, Tuesday, at 2:30, just like we will be every day, Monday through Friday, moving forward. See you then.
See ya.
We all silly like the mayor.